Yes, good evening, Pastor, and thanks for taking my call.
Well, good evening to you as well. Thank you for calling.
I wanted to say that, you know, for years I've been a Christian, but I've been through some hard times over the years where you kind of backslide, and then I find out that, you know, I'm getting away from the Lord, and I get reeled in lots of times over the years when I hear good preaching, and then I find a good Bible-believing church, and I start putting my nose back in the Bible. But my question is, and I always worried about this on myself, is can you lose your salvation as a Christian?
You know, that's a really good question, and it comes up from time to time, and I've heard people try to say, well, as long as you're in Christ, you can't. And then others say, oh, no. You can lose your salvation this way or that way. But I always prefer to go with what the Bible says. And let's go over to the Gospel of John. And I prefer to let the Bible answer the question. And another thing, too, as we look at what the Bible says, you know, I like to tell people, especially young people, God put something between our ears to do more than just keep them apart. He wants us to think. He wants us to reason. And the Bible talks about reasoning. And the Bible talks about, wisdom and knowledge and searching after it and asking God for it. And so when we come here to the Gospel of John, Jesus is speaking to the Jews here, and as he's speaking with them, he says in John chapter 10, verse number 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And then here's where it comes in to answer your question, and I think this is the best way to answer your question. This is exactly what Jesus Christ said. This is not what Pastor Al imagined or said. This is what Jesus Christ himself said. He says in verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." He continues in verse 29, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And when we look at this, words mean something. And when we see words in the Bible, those words are there for a reason. They're not just there accidentally. God inspired through his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, third person of the Trinity, inspired. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so as God inspired the writers here, they wrote the very words that God wanted them to say. And so when they recorded the words of Jesus here, they were recording the words of Jesus as given to them by the Spirit of God. So I think this is close to direct from God as you can get, because it is direct from God. And when he said, "I give unto them eternal life," the focus there on that one word, eternal. When we look at that word eternal, what it says is that this life that is given to him is, this might sound redundant, but it's eternal. And so what's the definition of eternal, right? I mean, it's a pretty evident word, isn't it? So
yes, it is.
Here's what some people believe that Jesus actually said, even though it's not recorded that way in the scripture. They believe that Jesus Christ actually said, "I give them the potential for eternal life," or potential eternal life, meaning if they stay in me, as long as they're in me, it's eternal life. But if they get out of me, I'm not sure how you do that, especially in light of the fact that he said nobody can pluck us out of his hand, and said we're also in the Father's hand. Nobody can pluck us out of the Father's hand, so I don't know how we're going to do that. But if we could get out of Christ, whatever they mean by that, then you lose your eternal life. Well, then let me ask you this, and And perhaps you can answer the question pretty easily for me here, Paul. If God, who knows everything, and Jesus is God, gave you, said that he gave you eternal life, but knew that 10 years from now you would get out of Christ and lose your eternal life, was it eternal?
Yes, that's the big question. And but God is true to his word. You know, I always think of the parable of the sower, where young Christians, where does that seed fall? I believe as long as you're watered properly and your seed falls into good earth and you seek God with your heart, mind, and soul and invite him into your heart, repent of your sins, and follow his teachings, I believe you fell in good earth and you are a Christian. But I think that parable talks about some people, they might hear the word of the Lord, but it doesn't get planted into their heart real well. And
right.
They're like a mini Christian for about 3 to 5 days, and they truly probably were never saved in the first place.
Oh, exactly, exactly. They never received eternal life. They got excited about the message. They made an emotional decision, but they never truly put their faith in Christ as their Lord and Savior. They may have made an intellectual acknowledgement even of it, but they never truly put their faith in him as their Savior, so they never received eternal life, did they?
Right.
Yeah.
And then I also read scripture we are sealed by the Holy Spirit
on
the day of redemption.
Exactly.
And I kind of believe once sealed and you're in. I've heard people say, like, when you're born into a family and if you don't get along with them and you want to deny that they're not your family, they're still your family.
Right, right.
And but at times I know the devil is out there and he's a sneaky guy and he tests our faith and our salvation, and sometimes he likes to put doubt into us. And I know that many Christians have their possible moments where they do a little backsliding, and times where I'm thinking, oh boy, I'm starting to screw up a little bit in my life here, and I'm losing my salvation. I quit going to church, or I quit, you know, reading the Word, but I do appreciate the verse you shared in John that's very solid.
Actually, I want to come back to that because we kind of got away from the definition of eternal. And, you know, if you look at it in the Greek, it means perpetual, everlasting, eternal, forever. Well, that's nice in the Greek. What's it mean in the English? It means perpetual. It means everlasting. Forever,
okay.
Without end.
Yeah.
So this is my point, and again, coming back to John 10 there, verse 28, Jesus said he gave us eternal life. Well, if you received eternal life today, you put your faith in Christ, and you were genuinely born again, but God knows in his omnipotence, his all-knowing attribute of God, in his omniscience, all-knowing characteristic, he knows that 10 years from now, you're going to lose your salvation. You're going to get out of Christ, and you're going to lose your salvation. Well, then your eternal life lasted 10 years. That's hardly eternal, is it?
Not at all.
So did Jesus give you eternal life, or did he give you the potential for eternal life? Or did he give you eternal life for a temporary period of time? But see, Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, not the potential, not temporary eternal life. He said, I give unto them eternal life. That's without end right then, right there. And then he says, he follows it up with, and they shall never perish. Okay, let's go to the Greek on that. What's never perish mean? It means never perish. Same thing it means in English. It's the exact same thing. It means you'll never perish. So, again, using our example, if you got saved today, and God knows that 10 years from now you would backslide, you get out of Christ, whatever the situation is, and lose your salvation and die without Christ, you would perish. But Jesus said you would never perish, even though he knew 10 years from now you would perish without him. So is Jesus then telling us the truth, or is Jesus misleading us?
His word is always the truth.
Exactly, exactly. And so if he gave us eternal life, he meant eternal, not the potential or not temporary eternal, which by its very definition isn't eternal. He promised that we would never perish. He didn't say the potential of never perishing, but see, these people read that in there. See, they're as bad as the Calvinists who read things in to make their system work. These people read in words to make their system work. We want to be a biblicist. We want to go with what the Bible says. Jesus plainly said we have eternal life, which by definition can never end. He promised us that if we don't have eternal life, if we only have the potential for it or some kind of nebulous temporary eternal life, Jesus lied or he was ignorant, one of the two. And then it says he'll never perish. Well, that's a very emphatic statement. And God, in his omniscience nature, his all-knowing characteristic, would know whether or not we're going to perish in the future. How could he tell us we'll never perish today, knowing that 10 years from now we're going to perish? And by the way, there's a chapter in Hebrews that people love to use to talk about losing your salvation, Hebrews chapter 6, I believe it is. The only problem is what they fail to tell you is if you could if that means you can lose your salvation, and it's not what it's talking about, it also means you can never get saved again. And I hear these people who say you can lose your salvation claim they get saved again. I had a friend when I was in the Air Force, and he told me that, oh, yeah, you can lose your salvation. I used to ask him, well, how many sins does it take to lose your salvation? And he said, well, I don't really know, but it's got to be substantial. And I said, but if one sin condemns you to hell, then if you lose your salvation, then wouldn't one sin cost you your salvation? And he could never answer that question. So what point is it that you lose your salvation? And God, when he gave you salvation, would know whether you're going to backslide or not. And so he would know that he didn't really give you eternal life and that he really didn't mean that you would never perish because he knows that you're going to. And then he says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I heard a guy one time say that, nobody can pluck you out of God's hands, but you can. Well, hey, I'm just a man. And he said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. So how does that allow me, as opposed to somebody else, to pluck myself out of the Lord's hand? I'm just a man. He said, no man. So either Jesus lied or he didn't know what he was talking about in this passage. And then when he said, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Well, am I more powerful than God that I can pluck myself out of the Father's hand? Absolutely not.
Right.
And God knows that. Jesus knew that.
I'll tell you what I'm thankful for. As a Christian, I believe in the Bible. Jesus says, when I leave, I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And, you know, as a Christian, when I start to get away, I know God's alive and that Holy Spirit, he has his hands full trying to flag me down and say, hey, you need to get back on the straight and narrow. And I feel the Holy Spirit working me frequently when I start to drift away from God. So that's one of the beautiful things that I enjoy about being a Christian is how, you got the three-in-one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost, he does a great job. But then, as you know, old Satan, he's pretty slick.
Oh, absolutely. He'd deceive even the elect if he could.
He tries to reel me away. And so that's why, you know, I always wondered over the years, if you could actually lose your salvation as a Christian. But I did find verses where we're sealed until the day of redemption. I was just reading that about an hour before I called you because, I'm always searching and putting the word to the test here. And But I want to thank you for sharing that verse from John 10.
That's I think one of the strong, clear passage. But you were talking about being sealed, and before you go, let's take a look at something talking about being sealed, which is I think very strong as well when you look at it in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, Paul is writing here. He says, "In whom ye trust, also ye trusted, or ye also trusted." Well, who did we put our trust in? We put our trust in Christ. "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed," and here it is, this is one of several verses that says, or at least a couple of verses that says this, "ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." And we were sealed.
Wow.
We did not seal ourselves. Who sealed us? God did.
The Lord did.
Exactly. And if there's any doubt, when you look at the next verse, verse 14, we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, earnest, that talks about a down payment, doesn't it? You know, if you if you're out and you see a car for sale along the road or something, and you really like it, and you say, "I want to buy that car," well, the guy doesn't want to just take it off the market, you know, or take the for sale sign off it, because he doesn't know you're going to buy it. He doesn't know you're serious or not. But you say, "Look, let me put a couple hundred dollars down on this as a down payment." That's your earnest money. That shows you mean business. That shows you're going to be back for that car.
Right.
And that's what the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that we're sealed with. He says that's the earnest of our inheritance. When God sealed us with his Spirit, he literally put something, a seal on us that says, "Listen, I'm coming back for this person. They belong to me until the redemption of the purchased possession. I purchased this person with the blood of Christ on the cross of Calvary. I am coming back for this person. This person is sealed and set aside for me. And one day, I'm coming for him." And that's what it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And then a few chapters later, that's where Paul says in verse 30, chapter 4 and verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption." And that's when he comes back for us. We're caught up. Here on the program, we frequently mention Luke chapter 21, where Jesus talks about when you see these things, meaning end times events begin, he said to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh, meaning the time that we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord. That's the day of redemption. The Lord's going to bring us into his presence. And he'll know we belong to him because we are sealed with that Holy Spirit. And
yes.
You know, I know Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 about lest I, you know, he talked about lest by any means when I have preached unto others, I myself should be a castaway. He didn't talk about losing his salvation. He talked about losing his reward. He talks in other places about losing his reward. And a believer that backslides can lose reward. It's very possible, but we don't lose our salvation. You actually brought up a very good point earlier where you said that, you know, you're a member of your family, and even if you deny it or cause problems or whatever, you can never change that.
Right.
Well, when we were born in to God's family, God, well, actually literally adopted into God's family, let's put it that way, when we were born again, God placed us in his family. The only way that we'll get out of his family is if he was to put us out of his family, and he said he's not going to do it.
Right, through his promises. In John 10 there,
28,
I think you said it was.
Yeah, John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. And so when you look at these things, how can you come to any other conclusion but that the Lord meant exactly what he said when he said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Not potentially saved, but saved. And, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life. Not potentially everlasting life, because he gave us eternal life, not potential eternal life. And for these people who believe you lose your salvation, they got to add that in there because they don't really believe what the scripture says. They add in either subconsciously, unconsciously, or purposely, they add in, and I give unto them potential eternal life, and they potentially shall never perish. And potentially, neither shall any man pluck them out. They got to add to the scriptures. We don't do that. We're not to do that. We're to let the scriptures be interpreted by the Holy Spirit of God to mean what they say. God meant what he said. He said what he meant. And we need to believe it. So, but Paul, well, I appreciate your call with this.
And I want to thank you for all the work you do on the air. And you're a real blessing, and I'm starting to tune in quite a bit, and I've always learned a lot from you. I gotta check out your website and listen to you more frequently because you are an inspiration, and I know it's important for Christians to be around Christians and to support Christians and hear the word and stay away from, we are a new creature in Christ. We need to stay away from people that just enjoy the sinful world, and I want you to know that you're a real blessing, and you've been a blessing in my life with this radio show.
Well, I appreciate that, Paul. And again, the program is, you can find it at livewithpastoral.com.